What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
The Volume.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA.
From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. I still feel like the Nuggets are the team to beat this year, but some of these young squads might make some noise.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code Jenkins. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code Jenkins only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21+, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Wednesday, May the 1st, and we're very excited to be talking about rap beef, to be talking about the Los Angeles Clippers, Sixers, Knicks game, everything else NBA. As always, Jenkins and Jones, hosted by Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. Have a good
night. Lil Jethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, bubbas?
I'm Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike.
Motherfucking Mike.
And we're produced by the lovely and talented Jackson Saffron.
What's up?
Wouldn't it be funny if Jackson said I was mispronouncing his last name? Just like after like 3 years or whatever. It's just like,
oh, a lot of people mispronounce my last name, but you got it. You nailed it.
Yeah. I got it.
What do they say?
Saffron? It's not a big deal.
Saffron.
I was going to say, I bet you get a lot of Saffron.
Usually that, or people just add an R.
Are those black people?
No, it's all people.
No, Saffron. Saffron sounds like something I would say if I didn't know. You know what I mean?
I've gotten it from everyone. Yeah. I've gotten that mispronunciation from everyone. So.
Well, we are live on YouTube. Thanks to everyone who's watching live. If you're listening to this in the podcast, thanks for listening, first of all, but also subscribe at youtube.com/@JenkinsandJones. We'll be doing a lot of these lives after NBA games for the rest of the playoffs, so definitely hop on and hang out with us there. We had a lot of fun with some really funny comments from the chat. I have a question for y'all at the end of this rap beef conversation that I want to hear your guys' answers to, but I definitely want to hear the chat's answers to as well. But let's open up. Let's talk about it. Kendrick, Tuesday, 11:30 a.m. dropped Euphoria. I think I've listened to it about 400 times at this point. How do y'all feel about it, and where are we some actual genuine rap beef between rappers that everyone's heard of, like some real top shelf shit right now? Where are we at?
Yeah, I basically want to talk about how it made me feel at first, right? Because I feel like I feel like when we're talking rap beef, bro, it all comes down to what record moved you the most in the beef, right? Like, that's usually the deciding factor in who you think won it. And, like, I've got to the point where I'm comfortable with Kendrick only giving us an album every 5 years. I'm comfortable with him, you know, not being on the scene. One of my favorite rappers right now, young kid out of Charlotte, North Carolina, named Mavi. He made this album called Let the Sun Talk while he was a student at Howard, like 20 years old, studying neuroscience. It's one of my favorite albums of that year. And he has a line on a song called Time Travel where he says, "I don't write all the time because I can't lie." And that that shit is so hard to me, right?
What,
because
it's bar, like, bro.
That's a bar, right? Because it's like, there are certain artists who are only going to give you albums when they have shit to talk about,
mm-hmm.
right? And Kendrick's one of those guys. And hearing this song, it just reminded me just how incredible of a rapper he is. And, like, I know the days of him being, you know, the hungry 21-year-old trying to get out here, giving us an album or tape a year, are done. But I was like, bro, I miss those days when we were getting 20 Kendrick tracks every year back to back to back. Like, that was my main takeaway. I was like, this motherfucker is an all-time great, and I'm fine. I'm at peace with him, you know, going the route that he is. He's well-renowned to be a recluse. He doesn't want to be on the scene or no shit, so we get albums from him, like, you know, like I said, like every 5 years or so. And I'm at peace with that, but it made me miss Kendrick as a rapper because he's so fucking good.
One thing Kendrick's been doing more of, like, he's been leaning more into art than rap. What I really loved about this was, this is rap, baby. I'm just leaning the fuck in on doing you three bad, nigga. Like, the shit, like, I told you, there were points when he was talking about, he wasn't just talking about him as, like, as a rapper, as a human, like, you know, like Drake. He was like, nigga, you ain't even good at being a dad, bitch ass nigga. With the part that he said about being, like, you're not giving him gyms, you're not preparing your kid for life.
You,
like,
ain't waking him up and praying with him.
Nigga. Yeah. He said, you have no idea how to buckle your own baby Bjorn, bro. Like, you got to ask for three people's help to put the baby Bjorn on.
Right. You can't even put the clothes up the stroller, nigga. Like, you know what I'm saying? You got somebody else doing that, nigga. You ain't really a dad in here in these streets. You feel me? I was like, bro, when I had to pause that part, because I'm like, if somebody would have said that to me, I would have had to touch them, nigga. Like, he's a whole bitch. I remember the last time I've heard, like, somebody talk shit. Like, even when he was talking about his homie that was like, tick, 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 push your T, tick, tick, tick. You know, yeah, that nigga 6'6". I didn't even feel the same way with that, where I was like, if this nigga doesn't put hands or at least try to fight Kendrick, you a whole bitch. Because the way he would dismantle him at that shit was crazy. But
he did. He put up on his IG stories. He put up Julia Stiles from 10 Things I Hate About You, bro. That's like nuclear for Drake, bro. He went to Julia really Stiles, his strongest soldier, bro.
Bro, his strongest soldier.
He laid down Julia Stiles, bro. He was really bothered. You could tell, bro, that really hurt him.
when I saw that, I'm like, bro, you really a sucker, bro. You know what I'm saying? Because the way he came at him was just so personal, G. You feel me? But, like, also what he said, like, I've never heard of whooping feet before. And I had to look that up, too.
That's L.A. shit, yeah.
That's some L.A. shit. I know what I'm saying?
I thought that was country shit that made us win to L.A.
They will straight up say, I'll beat the brakes out you. Yeah. Or, like, I'll whoop you out your shoes. They will say that. Yeah. They won't say whooping feet. And so when I heard that shit, like, okay, I'm going to tell you about who you are. I'm talking shit about your son. I dare you to try me. You feel me? I'm like, bro. Dog, man, it was beautiful, man. It was 6 minutes of straight bars shitting on this man's whole existence. Crazy.
Yeah. What I really loved about it is, like, I have loved this fucking rap WrestleMania that we've been having the last few weeks. But there's so much projection in it. There's so many rappers throwing shots that apply to them, right? Like, you had J. Cole saying Kendrick's music was boring. You had Drake clowning Kendrick for doing pop collabs and getting extorted by his label. You know what I'm saying? You had Rick Ross calling Drake the police,
yeah.
Right? We got Chris Brown calling Quavo an abuser. You know what I'm saying? It's like, bro, it's so much projection. It's so many people in this shit right now throwing shots that apply to them. But there's nothing in this from Kendrick. There's no cognitive dissonance, no Coggy D in this motherfucker, right? Like everything, every shot Kendrick is throwing is a clear, precise jab that you cannot counter because it doesn't come back on him. You know what I'm saying? That's what I love the most about this.
I it's hard to pick out a favorite line, but the one that jumped out to me that really sums up so many of his other arguments was the when he said, I'm allergic to the lame shit. Only you like being famous. Was like, that's such a cutting line, and it ties every other argument together that's just like, there's such a difference between these two dudes. We talked about this before. We were talking about it. Like, if you grew up the way Kendrick grew up, of course you would take this shit personally. And that's where, like, for me, I'll put all my cards on the table. They could have released anything, the two of them, and there was no way I would not have been on Kendrick's side. Like, you have a black dude from Compton who comes from
and a white boy from Canada.
Pyrus, and you got a Canadian dude who's a child actor who's a pop star. Rapper, pop star, Compton, Canada. You know, like, it's a real easy, like, just for where my preferences lie. But Kendrick made it really easy. He made it really easy because it was just one of those songs where when you were done with it, it made you want to call up people you hate and get the hate out of your chest.
Like, yeah, that was something that, you know, jumped out to me when I first heard Drake, you know, punch back on push-ups. I was like, you're going to go the route of, oh, Kendrick, you're jealous of me because I'm a bigger star than you. I'm like, you are just do not understand your opponent here. Kendrick doesn't give a fuck about that. I mean, for one, Kendrick does not give a fuck about that. Like we mentioned, he's a recluse who loves being out the spotlight. And to pull the whole, yeah, I'm way more successful than you. Nigga, this is Kendrick Lamar. This ain't fucking Dave East. No shots to Dave East. This is Kendrick motherfucking Lamar.
It's not even Pusha T. Like, this is a dude who also could headline all the shit that you headline.
Yes, like, yes. Like Drake, you are the biggest rapper in the world. Drake is this. Kendrick is the second biggest rapper in the world. Like, how much does that really fucking matter here?
But you know? Also, when Kendrick dropped, he stops the world. I think, like, with this shit right here, I think this had a much bigger effect than push-ups. This shit was playing on the radio, according to some people on Twitter. Like, yo, I'm hearing this on the radio.
Bro, I heard it twice driving around.
I mean, on LA, that makes sense in Southern Cal. You know what I'm saying? But other people outside of that were saying it as well. You feel me? So, like that the thing about that, like, saying he's not a bigger star, like, yo, yeah, you're a bigger star because you are dropping shit every year. You move like a machine. This nigga's an artist moving like a fucking rapper, really writing his own raps. But when he drops shit, everybody fucking stops. You know what I'm saying? So, and also when we're looking at the internet battle, who's getting more attention or whatever, engagement, bro, look, do you see how many views that shit got on YouTube? How many likes that shit has got? Like, you can't even just win that battle with Kendrick. You have to really just rap. And that man ain't got what it takes. You feel me? I mean, we how does he respond to this?
Yeah, like
this is 6 minutes.
Like, right. It's exactly like what you said. Like, on Like That, Kendrick hopped out here and said, bro, do not mention me with y'all. I'm so much better at this rap shit than y'all. Right. Like, that was exactly what he hopped out there with. And Drake just misinterpreted that shit like, oh, it's a popularity contest. No, the motherfucker said, you cannot out rap me. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. Like, I know Drake is someone who leans on the memes and trying to win over the internet with the jokes, but this motherfucker is not laughing, bro. this and the funny shit is, like Drake has always leaned on humor in battles, and nigga, Kendrick had the funniest bar so far in all this shit. That Sexy Red shit, nigga, I guffawed when I heard that. Nigga, that is the funniest line in this beef so far, and it's from the dude who isn't leaning on comedy to win this shit, who's leaning on straight fucking rapping. But I think that, you know, we've seen people saying, oh, Kendrick didn't say anything new. We're hearing the same old shit. And for one, I find that funny coming from Drake fans, because they said all Pusha T did was gossip. You know what I'm saying? So now gossip is cool, right? Now we need, you know, if a song doesn't have gossip, we hold that against them. Even though we know that Drake was out here putting out fucking ransoms to get dirt on people. Like, Kendrick said this shit, you know, why would I call around trying to get dirt on niggas? I don't give a fuck about this rap shit like you do. Like, Pusha T said during the beef that he heard that, you know, there was a bounty on some information for him. So Drake is a motherfucker.
Drake was doing TMZ, bro.
Yes, Drake is a motherfucker who wants the tea. He wants gossip for his ammo, right? So, you know, I do not care that we didn't hear anything quote unquote new here, because I think the jabs that Kendrick was taking, like the whole point of them stinging is that they're recycled. They're shit that Drake has heard before, right? Because Kendrick is telling this dude, bro, you want to be one of us, but you'll never be one of us. Pusha was right. Ross was right. You think those dudes are saying that just because they don't like you? No, I'm here to tell you, I agree. And so many other people do. You are not one of us. Right. Like that shit stinks to repeat that. I don't care if it's not new material. I never cared about new material, you know, being a deciding factor in beef. I want to hear motherfuckers rap. And Kendrick rapped his ass off on that shit, bro.
He got toddler voice. He got alien voice.
Yeah. Yeah. He hit him with three switches. Like he said, he was going to do on like that. Hey, chess with this motherfucker. But yeah, like, and I think that stings Drake so much, right? Because Drake's fans don't understand this. Drake is going to be just fine however this beef goes, just like he was just fine after Pusha T's beef, right? No one is going to lose any fans in this battle. No one's career is going to get put in jeopardy, any of that shit. But Drake is a dude who wants to be, he wants the all-time greats in this rap shit to look at him and be, to look at him and be like, this is a guy who deserves to sit at the table with us. Which is why I will say, yeah, he bodied Meek Mill, but Meek Mill left with something. Meek Mill left with a scar on that man's face when he exposed him for being a ghostwriter, because every rapper who he has, you know, barred with has brought that up. And the fans don't give a fuck. Okay, that's cool. But Drake does. Drake absolutely cares about his pen being respected. Like, this is a dude who's the biggest fucking rapper in the world, and he goes to fucking URL battles in Trenton and shit. You know what I'm saying? He for sure is someone who cares about being seen as one of those ones with the pen. He's a dude who wants to be everything to everyone. And Kendrick came with this shit and he was like, bro, who are you? Do you even know? Because I'll tell you this, this rap shit that's rooted in being a Black American, you ain't one of us. No matter how you might try to cosplay that
he
shit.
He said he couldn't even say nigga, bro. Like, duh. He didn't say he wasn't a Black American. He said he couldn't. He ain't even Black.
Yeah.
Like, you know, go ahead.
I feel like Kendrick took deliberate steps to not bring race into this. Like, I feel like, you know, when we hear some, you know, so often we hear people say, well, you know, it's not about race. It's about class when they're talking about like societal issues and shit. And that's bullshit. Because whenever you peel some shit down at the foundation, race is going to be a part of shit like that, right? Race and class are intrinsically intertwined. You can never separate the two. So that shit is bullshit for the most part when you hear people say this. But, and on this particular record, it was about culture, not race. And Kendrick made it be very clear that he was on the side of, bro, I don't care about your racial makeup. You're just not of the culture here. Right. Like he said, I don't even like when you say nigga, and I ain't even going to get that deep, nigga. It's just cringeworthy. Right. Like he was like, I'm not questioning your Blackness. Yeah. Nigga, you're just not cool enough to say that shit.
I just don't like hearing you say it.
Right. Yeah. Right. I just don't like hearing you say that shit. And another jab Kendrick threw was, if you remember on Push-Ups, you know, Drake said, you know, Maroon 5 need another verse and you better make it catchy. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, you're clowning Kendrick for making pop collabs coming from Drake. Like I said, what the fuck are we doing here? Projection. Same shit you fucking do at all the fucking time. But Kendrick threw a jab back and he was like, how many more features until you feel that you Black enough?
Ooh, that was
right,
nasty.
Right. Double entendre there. Of course, going with how, you know, Pusha said you afraid to grow your fro and then this motherfucker grew cornrows, right? Like the actual physical features. And also, how many features with Black rappers are you going to try to validate yourself? That's where Kendrick was coming here. He wasn't like, you're not Black enough. He was like, bro, how hard are you going to try to overcompensate to us to show us that you're Black? He was like, I see the insecurity in you. But I'm going to be real with you. It ain't all in your head, because we all know you ain't one of us either. So I'm just here to confirm that for you. You know what I'm saying? Which is why, like I said, I'm not mad at him using quote unquote recycled bars here, because he's hammering that hammer home. He's fucking twisting that nail, bro. You know, so Drake is a dude who wants to be all things to everyone.
Right.
He is exactly someone, right? He's someone who wants to be all things to everyone. And he's also someone who understands the power of a cosign. Right. Like, this is a dude who came in, he was a Canadian rapper, and he came in, and like one of the biggest complaints about this dude was, this motherfucker sounds like he's from Houston. So, right. But then you look at who he aligns himself with. Jazz Prince was his homie. Jay Prince is a big homie. Bun B gave him a cosign. So he's like, you know, even if you say that, you know, he wants to be from Houston, he's got Houston OGs co-signing him, right? So that gives him some cover there. And he's just always maneuvered through his career, you know, kind of hopping on waves, kind of, you know, switching his shit up. And, you know, it's been said that the Drake stimulus package, the Drake verse, is the best stimulus package in rap history. And I will totally agree with that.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, there's a positive to that, too. Like, he's put a lot of people on. Yeah, for sure.
To a degree. Like, Gucci, it worked out for, like, you know, the Migos and shit. You feel me? But, like, Block Boy JB didn't really work out that well for him. For them, he stole from, what's your boy? Hotline Bling. You feel me?
Yeah.
Like, also, he's stealing swag from Yachty right now, too. So, like, I don't know. It's kind of nasty.
I'm talking about him. Like, he will seek out a rap act, a rap group, some rappers who aren't really popping, and hop on one of their singles, and those motherfuckers go to the moon, right?
Like, I think it's gonna happen with Migos.
Yeah,
like, it didn't really happen with nobody else. Go ahead.
Now I was gonna say it happened with Block Boy JB. Like, we ain't heard. That's him. He fumbled that
one
shit.
Song, and then he just. Yeah. You feel me?
Yeah. But he's still, like, the most sought out verse in rap. Let's say that, at least. Right. Like, if you want your shit to bubble, you want Drake on a verse. You know what I'm saying? And he's had a very long run of being that guy, like 15 fucking years of that. Like, yeah. But he, like I said, like, he's someone who he's just always wanted to be all things to all people. Mm-hmm. Right. He wants to be everything. He's the Shang Tsung of this shit. And Kendrick was like, bro, who the fuck are you?
Yeah. But also, like, we saw during we've joked about this before, but him talking to LeBron about, like, would you have been disappointed in me if I said something to push a T? Like, it is that, like, everything is sort of that committee consensus. I mean, I'll be like corporate type of a feel. Right. And that's where this song by Kendrick cut so deep, like John was talking about. Cause it was like, I don't give a fuck what LeBron James thinks.
I don't give a fuck with nobody.
I hate you.
Right.
I hate, like, and nothing matters more than the strength with which I hate you as a person.
And he was even speaking to, like, yo, like, bro, you cool when you doing that dance shit. You feel me? Mm-hmm. But then when you start acting hard and all that shit, we ain't going, nigga. I actually lived this shit.
Right.
Yeah. You feel me? Like, I lost niggas in this shit.
And brought some people with him. And you feel me?
Like, bro, we ain't going. So, yeah, bro, like.
Yeah, I've never heard the word Canadian said like it was a slur before.
Nigga, I was like all the black people in Toronto that caught this. I bet half the fucking the city just gasped when they heard him, like, a Canadian. I was like, that's nasty, bro. That's nasty. Yeah. I know some cool people in Toronto too. It was a beautiful bar though, baby. You feel me?
Yeah, and here's something that was interesting to me, like. I love the part where he hits us with that Toronto accent. What are you, cheese and bomb? That shit, like.
Crowdy. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I heard Crowdy meant pussy too. And so he was like making fun of him.
It's the name of his cat, apparently.
Apparently that means pussy. Like, I think
why he named his cat that also?
Which was supposed to be funny or whatever. But like, he was calling him a pussy while also mocking his. You know, it's his accent as well. So
yeah, and that's the thing. Drake for sure reps Toronto, Six God, all that shit. What has he given us from Toronto though? Right? Like, I feel like that Kendrick line with that Toronto slang, that's the only time that's the most memorable Toronto slang I've heard dropped in rap. You know what I'm saying? Like Drake has repped Toronto, but he doesn't give us anything from Toronto. Because like I said, this is a dude who just wants to be all things to everyone. And Kendrick was like, bro. I see the fucking insecurities in you here, and I'm a fucking, you know, twist that nail because I'm comfortable with myself. I don't give a fuck about being more famous than you. I don't give a fuck about, you know, being more successful than you. I'm happy for your success. Like, he said that himself. He's like, right. I like being off the scene. I'm comfortable with who I am, and I don't know if you can say the same about yourself. You know, he put that nigga on the therapy couch in this motherfucker, dog.
Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home services marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well.
With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects easy. We've used Angie at my house. We had some work done. We had some painting done. We're able to find a bunch of really qualified people with good rates through Angie and pick someone we were really happy with. It was super easy to use the app, super easy to connect with someone. We got the call right away, so we didn't have to sit around and wait.
Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installation, or cleaning. Angie has simplified finding help for home projects. In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service projects from start to finish.
Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com or download the app today.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Oh, the last thing I'll say is I love that he put in just the right amount of toxic masculinity too. You know what I mean? The sexy red line, the like, I believe you don't like women, but like, you know,
I don't think that was a gay jab. I think he was saying you just have so much animosity.
I don't think so either, but it's also not an accident that it's, right up to that line.
He for sure went these aren't real women with the whole like the IG bodies aren't real women. You know he likes he a whole tap ass motherfucker
marks, who likes some earthy for and sure, shit. Bro. Yeah. Hey, I just you know nothing with no wrong with preferences. With yeah, yes, for
nothing
sure.
Nothing wrong with them.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But
yeah.
We're saying that was Kendrick's angle there.
But the like, you know, I think you're going to get into an ass popping competition with William.
That was so fucking funny.
You hit see a two little,
bad ooh. Bitches. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. He kind of walked. I feel like he walked a fine line where he didn't disrespect Sexy Red at all. Cause there's nothing wrong with Sexy Red. You were calling Sexy Red a bad bitch and telling her that she's going to pop ass. That's what she does. That's her brand.
Saying
Drake is going to do that right beside you. Like, that is fucking hilarious. But, dog.
The shit he said too, I hadn't heard that about. He got ab surgery.
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah, we cannot discuss that.
How you sit down with a plastic surgeon? Do they ask you? You want 4, 8, or 12? Or like
Ross talked about that though too, right? Talk about him buying them abs.
Yeah, Meg said it too. Like it was a thing on the internet where people were saying those are surgery scars and shit.
And but he was talking about having stomach issues and shit.
Look, man, I'm gonna say this.
I've had surgery. I didn't come out of it with abs, dog. I'm saying you have surgery to fix something in your stomach. They don't accidentally carve you some abs while they're doing that shit.
Yeah. look, bro, I'm going to say this. I am not someone who's like, oh, the BBL epidemic is ruining our woman. I am like, whatever women want to do, surgery, whatever, it's your body, it's your life, have at it.
But when it comes to niggas.
Bro, I will never be that
progressive. When it comes to the homies.
That's what I was going to say. When it comes to men, nigga. Listen. When it comes to men having cosmetic surgery, nigga, I am a caveman. I am not progressive at all at that. What are we doing here, dog? What are we fucking doing here? Nigga, you went and had consultations with a motherfucker. You sat down at a desk and negotiated buying stomach muscles, nigga. Like, how
so
is
you can take that? You a real on IG, nigga.
Yes, how you know are you saying? A real person, nigga? There is a charge on your bank statement for fucking stomach muscles that you bought, nigga.
25 racks, apparently. Bro, 25 of them, bro. Things, G.
That mother. How does this work? Do you look at a menu?
He paid $2,000 per each of the 12 pack, bro. He paid $2,000 per.
Do you get a laminated menu of the type of abs you want? And do you pick the motherfuckers out?
Give me the 6, Tyler.
Right? Like, yeah. Oh, I think I'm going to go with number 4 right here. Nigga, how do you buy stomach muscles, nigga? I will never. That is so wild to me. You just. And bro, the thing about abs is like, everyone who works out knows the abs are like the final frontier. Once you have mastered everything, once you have gotten, you know, your shoulders, your pecs, your tries right or whatever, the abs are like the last thing that shows you are really a fit motherfucker. And this soggy ass motherfucker just hopped out here with some abs, bro. Like, nigga, them shoulders slopey as fuck. You know what I'm saying? Like, bro, I just cannot believe a motherfucker went and bought stomach muscles. I did not even think that was possible. I didn't think you could buy muscles for your stomach. I didn't know. I can't believe that's the world we're living in, where you can buy stomach muscles, bro.
You can buy calves out here and shit, bro.
You can like, buy.
It's crazy. You can buy anything. You can. Niggas is buying height,
bro. You can buy a whole new midsection. You can buy a whole new thorax. You know what I'm saying? Like,
hey, you went to the thorax hunt, bro.
Niggas is buying the new midsections, bro.
I'm also picturing, look, like, you know how they say you're supposed to like come in with like a goal, like an image of like what you're trying to get when you get cosmetic surgery. I'm just picturing him coming on his phone, like scrolling, like Brad Pitt's abs, like different Michael B. Jordan's abs. Like, I want those ones, actually. You know,
yeah. It was Brad Pitt, not Michael B. Jordan, bro.
I want the 1992 Shawn Michaels. If we can make that happen, the sexy boys. Like, come on, man. This motherfucker bought stomach muscles, bro. We can't let that slide. We can't. And if we want to be a respectable society, we have to remind that man at every turn that you sat down at a desk and bought muscles for your midsection. Grown ass man, dog.
Bro.
Grown ass man was out here buying stomach muscles. He can afford
the training, the diet, all of that shit.
Your schedule, you make your own schedule as Drake, right? There is no one. If anyone's dealing with Drake, they are on Drake time. You can put all the work in that you want to, bro. But you wanted to sit down and take the easy way out. You went to Balco, bro, instead of grinding out here to get some fucking abs. He bought some. That motherfucker bought a midsection, man. Like it was a fucking Chevy Malibu. Like, bro, we can't let this slide. This is absurd. We can't let it slide, man.
Bro. He woke up from general anesthesia and a surgeon looked at him and said, "Do you want to see the new you?"
Motherfucker had to hold the mirror like this. He had to hold the mirror like this. Come on, man. Bro.
Are you ready to see a whole new Drake?
The most absurd. Listen, I want to be clear. That I think that Drake has a very good case of being the GOAT rapper of all time. We've never seen anyone be on top this long. He has been on top since So Far Gone in 2009. But bro, I don't know if we've ever seen a weirder rapper be on top ever. Like, listen, bro. Like, since we're talking about it, that motherfucking Jim Crow picture that Pusha T exposed, nigga. How did he, like, when he survived that? I knew it was a new day, bro. I knew we were I knew Drake fans were Ariana Grande fans, bro. Like it did. The integrity doesn't matter. It's about you being, a fucking pop star, bro. And the funny shit is, look at that picture, bro. That looked like a white man under that blackface. That looked like Ross from Friends, bro. That motherfucker looked like a Baldwin brother in 1992, like a Coffee's for Closers face ass nigga, dog. Like it is the wildest picture associated with any rap icon of all time. There's no question. Nothing comes close. The runner-up might be Rick Ross being the fucking officer of the month, right? Like, that might be number two.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And it was funny as hell that those two were going at it. But that motherfucking Jim Crow picture, dog. And he, that motherfucker, the, come on, man.
I can hear that. I can be in blackface.
I can hear that picture tap dancing when I look at it, bro.
What was the context behind that picture he was trying to give us?
He said he was trying to. The funny shit is in his notes, in the little note app shit that he dropped his homeboy's full government name and his whole lineage. He was like, "Yeah, this is the thing that, you know, me and my friend, John Doe, whatever the fuck, did. He's from Sudan, so I don't know if y'all can find him in America or Canada, but he might be in Sudan right now." Like, he snitched on everybody. He ain't take no accountability for that shit. He said he was trying to, you know, make a point about how hard it is for black actors, which is like parallel to, you know, the minstrel shows and shit. But whatever, bro. Don't nobody want to hear that shit. Especially not after we saw that fucking clip up emerge from that interview where he said,
"Hell yeah,
a black American." He said, "You know, I grew up in Toronto. We're diverse. I never really experienced racism until I came to America. And one of my Black American friends told me I was said I wouldn't understand the Black American struggle because I was Canadian. That's the first racist thing that ever happened to me. Nigga, you are a white man.
That's a white man shit.
You called a Black American a racist because he said you don't understand Black Americans because you're Canadian. That man called you a Canadian and you said that was racist. How you ain't white? How you ain't white? Rick Moranis face ass nigga, dog. Like, hey, look, man, we got to have some serious conversations now. Like I said, this has been a 15-year run of this dude being on top. And I feel like Kendrick has given us a fucking reckoning with this song where we need to discuss some real-life shit about this motherfucker right now.
Well, they could say there was no new stuff in the song, but I had never seen that interview, and that was all I saw people talk about all day today. Yeah, so
that's the thing. He's got so much fucking dirt out here. Like I said, we've never seen a weirder dude be on top for so long. There's so much dirt out here in the archives that whenever this shit happens, it's motherfuckers in the back just hopping up like, hey, read this. I've been boosting this for years. No one cared until now. You know what I'm saying? So, but I'll say this though, Drake has shown us that he's with the shits. We're gonna get around. We're gonna get another round. Drake is gonna swing back. I'm looking forward to it because, like I said, Kendrick ain't playing. That motherfucker is dead serious. Like he might say some funny shit that's funny, but bro, that motherfucker ain't smiling. He is trying to end this man.
The thing is though, Drake is gonna have to stay with the funny shit because I don't think he can rap with him.
I think he's gonna get suckered down into the deep end, bro, with the sharks.
But you know Drake, I mean? Already called Drake. I mean, Kendrick already said, bro, that hard shit ain't. We ain't believing that, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't going out hard me. What the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Being a Canadian nigga, it's just not going to happen. You can barely say nigga.
I had to, right. Kendrick, I had to bleep the names of crimes in my breakthrough album. I had to bleep horrible things that happened in real life off my fucking first album, bro. Yeah. Okay, here's my question. And I want responses from people in the chat as well. The hatred is so pure. I was high off it all day listening to this fucking song. Who in the world would you want Kendrick to make another diss track like this about with the purest hatred?
Damn,
that's a good one.
I'll go first, and it's purely comedy based.
Yes.
You could be serious or comedic, whatever you want to do. I would say Colin Cowherd. I think that would be the funniest possible fucking song.
And he wouldn't give a fuck.
Colin would love it, bro.
Colin would be like, that shit was good. On his own show. That was fire.
He was like, I'm going to tell you, this Kendrick Lamar kid, he's good.
He's good.
He's good. He's good. I mean, look.
What can you say? Know,
yeah. I mean, look, I called it bad. I called it bad, but hey, that kid. He's good.
He'd be like Kendrick Lamar. He's like that ice cream in the back of your fridge, back of your freezer. Don't pull it out very often, but when you do, oh baby, does that hit?
That's a good fucking question. Who would I want to sit Kendrick on, bro?
Who do I hate?
That's what I'm thinking. I feel like I hate
a nigga, bro.
Ooh, the very first response in the chat, it was a great one. There's a lot of good responses, but the very first response from Gabriel said Elon.
Oh, that's a good one, bro.
And Elon would fucking struggle with that shit.
Yeah, that's true. Yes.
The way he would break him down, bro, he would struggle with that. And embarrassment, niggas laughing at
Elon
him.
Elon might destroy he might destroy the world over that. You know what I mean?
And Elon is weird enough to maybe even send a diss track back. Like, you know, so Elon is a weirdo. He might hop in the booth his damn self, which would be the worst shit to ever happen to rap.
And he has that like weird confidence that he shouldn't have to think that he could do that. You feel me?
Yeah.
So for sure. With Josh said what? Whitlock?
That might be the right answer, bro. That might be the right answer to an open-ended question.
That's a layup, and it's so much material right there, bro. There's so much comedy.
You got to get real toxic too.
Yeah.
Let's put all the phobias aside. Right? Come on, guys. Just for this time. let's allow a master to work how he works. You feel me? Like
slurs on me, slurs on three, John. Yeah. 1, 2.
Let the him big go boy's gonna have to take one for the team. The big boy's got to take one for the team on this one, dog.
Uninhibited, dog. You know what I mean? Let him do his thing, guys. Come on, man.
Other answers from the chat we got that are good are Stephen A. Smith, the Clippers, Mayor Adams of New York City.
Oh, Mayor Adams, that's a good
Skip
one.
Skip Bayless, Darvin Ham, Mike Tirico, Emmanuel Acho.
Wait, we already did Kendrick. We already did Kendrick's diss track on Mike Tirico.
We already gave that.
I think he ghostwrote that one, actually.
We gave that motherfucker 10 minutes of heat, nigga. Like,
we put a 10-minute video on Twitter, and it did numbers. That's how it's
anything over than a minute and 40 seconds on there is a full, is a fucking motion picture on Twitter. We had 10 minutes on that motherfucker.
Yeah.
Crazy.
All right. Should we talk a little basketball?
I feel like I need to take a deep breath after that.
Deep breath.
But yeah, I think so.
Nigga right. Bought a new midsection, bro. Come on, man.
You got the upholstery, bro.
You bought a new midsection and you thought no one was going to know. And you started taking pictures with your shirt off on Instagram. You just pop up with abs, bro.
He had a plastic surgeon drawing on his stomach with fucking black Sharpie. Like, this one's going to go here, and this one's going to go here, and this one's going to go here.
Tic-tac-toe. The surgeon had your shit.
You would think when somebody starts drawing on you, you'd be like, all right, man, I can't do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we wild.
When a nigga start, you know, sketching on your body and shit, it's like, all right, man, you feel me? I'm tweaking. I shouldn't do this.
He had to tell the surgeon, you won't need to shave me. I'll get waxed before I come in, bro.
Probably couldn't eat for like a half a day either or some shit. You probably couldn't go in there with a bloated stomach because they needed to chisel that shit. God damn. I am impressed that you can buy abs and disappointed at anyone who would do that. I'm impressed we live in a world with that technology, and I would be extremely disappointed in any motherfucker who would take advantage of it.
Let's see. I'm going to go ahead and look this shit up, bro. Abdominal liposuction, ab sculpting.
Sculpting is liposuction. He actually got the motherfucker.
Abdominal etching. There, right? Abdominal etching.
It was some lasers puming in that motherfucker or some shit, dog.
They call it abdominal etching. It costs on average between $3,000 and $10,000. If you go to a good surgeon, it could be $15,000. So he probably did pay
the $15,000.
That's a lot of people who do this surgery, bro. Hey. If you're in the chat right now and you've had your abs etched, it's a safe space.
Safe space, please.
Safe space, bro. Hey, we're not even going to make fun of you. We just need more details to make fun of Drake with.
Drake spent the equivalent of a quarter to him to have his abs dropped on himself.
What's crazy, the shit I seen out here in LA, bro, I ain't surprised, bro. It's real spooky out here, G. You know what I mean? Ab etching probably is light work. It get real wild out here, brother. I'll tell you that. I'll be in the gym like, what is that I'm looking at? I have never seen that before, nigga. But anyway.
There are some times in Southern California, particularly if I'm up in LA, where it does look a little like Total Recall. It's like, they put a boob on the back of that dude's arm? Or, you know what I mean? You're just like, what the fuck is going on?
And then, like, motherfucker, like Eric, like I said, the percentage of motherfuckers with whole new mouths, like a mouth, like you can't even leave the house unless you bought a new mouth, nigga. It's basic, bitch. You got the God model, nigga. You broke ass, nigga. You feel me? We went down the street to so-and-so, got that motherfucking new bitch. You know what I mean? 2024 mouth. It's wild out here, bro. So, yeah. I'm not surprised niggas get it, but it's still funny as hell, niggas saying, you can't say nigga and you bought abs, bitch. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You're Canadian.
Canadian.
Bro, and for someone like Drake who tries to make this song's catchy and shit, Kendrick killed him with that, we don't want to hear you say nigga no more. That's the most catchy shit we heard in the battle so far. Right? Kendrick gave us the funniest line in the battle with that sexy red shit and the most catchiest line of the battle so far, bro. Beating Drake on his home court right fucking now.
The shit that makes Drake great is that he cares about so much about people. You know what I'm saying? Like about what everybody thinks. And that's exactly what he attacked. You know what I mean? And the shit that makes Kendrick great is that he doesn't give a fuck. Like you said, like your homeboy, like the dude from Charlotte was talking about, I can't write a whole lot because I can't lie. You know what I'm saying? And
well, I think like
Styles
Drake
make fights, man.
Drake tried to do the B-Rabbit right on him being a pedophile, right? And Kendrick he's successful. There's not really much about that, you know, him liking underage girls or texting teenagers or whatever in the song.
He dropped a line on that Teddy P portion where he was like, I make music that electrifying, you make music that pacifying.
Yeah.
We'll come back to that. You know what I'm saying?
Like, but considering how direct all of the other insults are, you know what I mean? That's pretty oblique, given that it's the worst thing probably you could really come up with about Drake. But what Kendrick did do was kind of, I feel like he kind of tied Drake's arm behind his back, because if Drake comes back with a funny melodic, you know, like you said, sticking with the jokey jokes, like that, like, he already said, yeah, that's what you're going to do because that's who you are. Like, to me, that was an interesting corner to, if you're looking at it as a fight, he backed him into an interesting corner there. I'll be curious if Drake tries to ignore that or if he tries to operate within it. Because if he tries to come back with some tough guy shit, bro.
Yeah, he said that's what you're best at. Like, yeah. I even like that shit. You know, I dance with you know what I'm saying? But when you get the hard shit, it gets weird, nigga. You feel me? So.
Yeah, let's have a discussion on if Drake should be able to say nigga or not. Because I ain't gonna lie to you. When Scorpion dropped after that Pusha T beef on the shit he had with Keith, what was the shit? Anyway, the shit where he said, "Yeah, I'm light skinned, but I'm still a dark nigga." That felt so racist to me, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
That shit. And it felt like a white man said that. I will never like that, because for one, I don't like the bar just in a vacuum on some standalone shit. But nigga, we saw Pusha T zip you up. No, you can't say that 2 weeks after Story I Did Not Drop, nigga. Like, we're not believing you right now. You gotta let this shit sit for a minute, nigga. Like, you know, it took you four fucking 6 years, you know, to get back in the ring, nigga. Like we didn't need to hear that shit 2 weeks later.
I think the story dropping of him saying the first time he ever experienced racism was by a black person. Mm-hmm. Nigga, that's nothing a black person says. Somebody that says nigga doesn't say that. You feel me? So if we gonna take it away from the man, I think we stand on that. That holds up in court, nigga. You feel me? I think that'll hold up in court. You feel me?
For sure. Your Honor, crazy. Your Honor, this motherfucker said a black person was racist to him for the first time in his life. He was 24 years old. This happened in 2013, Your Honor. You remember 2013.
The jury's going to gasp. You know what I mean?
Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home services marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well.
With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects easy. We've used Angie at my house. We had some work done. We had some painting done. We're able to find a bunch of really qualified people with good rates through Angie and pick someone we were really happy with. It was super easy to use the app, super easy to connect with someone. We got the call right away, so we didn't have to sit around and wait.
Your one-stop shop, Angie can help you find the best price for your project by comparing quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps, or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie gets the difficulties that come with home projects. Why not make it as simple as possible to tackle that project? Turn to Angie with confidence, even for major renovations or emergency repairs.
Get started at Angie.com. That's ANGI.com, or download the app today.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options.
Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
All right. Can we make fun of the Clippers for a couple minutes?
Fuck yeah.
All right.
Do it, brother.
I mentioned before we started recording, I woke up today, and you know, some people can tell that it's going to rain by the way it smells outside. I walked outside, and I just could sniff an embarrassing home game, game five in a 2-2 series for the Clippers. And boy, did they fucking deliver. The old honker can still... I can still get out there and sniff out a good story from the Los Angeles Clippers. 123-93 on your home court in a 2-2 series with a team that you allegedly hate and have bad blood with. If this was any other team, the whole world would be clowning them. And because it's the Clippers, it's just what everyone expected to happen, bro.
Yeah.
I don't know what the most embarrassing stat line is from this game. Paul George, 4 of 13. James Harden, 2 of 12. 1 of 7 from 3. Paul George was 2 of 6 from 3. No one else made more than 1 3. They were 9 of 35 at home from 3 in a game 5 in a 2-2 series. They shot 37% from the field.
Well, all those stats are damning, if I say so myself. But I will tell you the most damning stat is that 83% of winners when a series is tied 2-2 win game 5 going to win that series, right? So, I mean, yeah, those. Like we said, with this series, we kind of had no idea. It kind of shifted for me, at least, game to game. Who's the better team? What I saw tonight, Dallas is the better team, bro. Dallas is the better team. Dallas is going to come out this. It might be 6, it might be 7, but Dallas is coming out of this series.
Also, I think we also saw like how much they miss Kawhi. The thing that's about number one guys is that Kawhi, you know he's gonna at least give you 28. Period, bro. 50% from the field, basic. You feel me? If he going off, dropping 36, 60% from the field. You feel me? And PG, he's a great basketball player, but he's not a number one guy. He has games like the last one where he drops 33. You feel me? He has the ability to drop 40 in a game. But the thing that makes number one guys is the consistency. And it's a lot to ask PG to be the same guy he was just last game, you know what I'm saying, consistent throughout a whole series. Well, so, go ahead.
Given that Kawhi is the centerpiece, I think we would all have to acknowledge, if you're looking at, like, yes, there's some bad luck involved. There's nothing funny about the Kawhi shit to me. It's just fucking sucks.
No, that shit's
and
sad.
I think, yeah. Like, Shea Serrano tweeted, he's like, it's insane that if you get Kawhi Leonard on your team, you're either going to win an NBA championship or he's going to be in street clothes, like, in the playoffs. Yeah. Like, it's just, like, that far on either end of the spectrum. But I think you can acknowledge that given that he has ongoing injury issues. He has a knee that probably should not be cleared for physical activity.
Mm-hmm.
You did not put the pieces around him to get him through that. You know, I mean, you did not put the pieces around him that could step up and be a guy and have that mentality. I love Paul George, but you don't expect that from Paul. You don't expect that from Paul George.
Do you think, like, I don't know if depth would help Kawhi. I think Kawhi's body.
No, I think it's personality. That's what I'm saying. I think that the one or two other stars you get with him have to be a fuck it. I don't, you know what I mean? And I don't like Paul George to me seems like he's going to party at whatever kind of party he shows up to. He's not going to go to the DJ and change the music. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He needs to be himself to be good.
Right.
Sometimes that is a,
we losing tonight? Shit.
Yeah, other times it's a 40 point game. You know what I'm saying? Like, he needs to do him. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I can see that. I think I'll say this. I think when they decided to get Paul George, the year before that, he was what? The second runner up in MVP voting. So like he has an ability.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's a reason why he's the number two.
Right.
You feel me? There's a reason why he's number two. And I think it's a lot to ask.
Right. Like, we talk about it all the time.
You need Harden to be the number two guy. You need him to be the number one.
Right.
Like, bro, that's just not going to happen. You need Kawhi to beat a team with a Kyrie, you know what I'm saying? And Luka, who's just a guy. Luka said, I feel like I let Kyrie down dropping 30.
Right.
That's a number one fucking guy.
Right.
I'm letting my guy down dropping 30. You know what I mean? And you need a PG to drop 33 and Harden to play like number one guys in order to beat them. And that's not something they can do every night. Kawhi is the dude that's going to help that you need in order to do that. And he's just not there.
And it's so, not a, there's no, I sincerely don't mean it as an insult. I really do. I'm a huge fan of Paul George's, but it
he's
is
a
just
great
true.
Basketball player. He's an incredible basketball player.
Yeah. But it's not a negative thing to say about someone. It just is a different personality type. And I'd say the exact same thing about quarterbacks. You say the exact same thing about head coaches. Is that old caveman toxic masculinity thinking? Maybe. But the head coach or the quarterback is making direct eye contact with the camera and no one feels like they're smarter than that guy. You know what I mean? like, oh, this person doesn't see us all the way around it. It's not Darvin Ham, you know, at the microphone talking about healthiness is wealthiness. That's just not what it is, bro. It's not what it is.
I mean, that's both of your guys' point, there's a great, Paul George, the year he got third in the MVP, that he had Russell Westbrook battery strapped to him at all times to get his mentality to exactly what we're saying it needs to be at. Like when you have that guy, like that version of Russ, obviously he's on the but that version of Russ being able to push you every day, that's when you get the best version of Paul George.
But I want to be clear that I'm not blaming Paul George. I'm blaming the Los Angeles Clippers franchise, which looks like they're going to fall short of reaching the Clippers promised land, which is the Western Conference semifinals. It's where they live. They should hang banners for the shit. They made it to the Western Conference semifinals 10 times, excuse me. And one time they even won a Western Conference semifinal to make it to the Western Conference finals. One time only in the history of the franchise. But I just don't understand how this happens every year. And I'm just very grateful that it does. Because you have Clippers fans who are tweeting at Lakers fans right now. I know you're not talking. At least we're still playing. You're bragging about surviving a game longer than the Lakers. We're going, we would never lose in 5. We are going to lose in 6. Like the late, like as Lakers fans, we have shame. We have the decency to be embarrassed by what our team did this year. You're proud that you made it one game longer than the Lakers in a year where we were so emotional about how bad the Lakers fucked up that John was practically crying, reading text messages from his mom on the fucking podcast. And y'all are proud because you made it one game longer than that Lakers team, bro. Have some self fucking respect, bro.
I will say that sounds way better than my experience. To leave a season with a first round out and be happy throughout the summer. You know what I mean? Having no shame seems kind of solid when you bring it up, you know, because I've been hating the fuck out that shit. You know what I'm saying? The summer sucks. Yeah. After Bron's not, you know, gets an early exit. So,
yeah. Hey, I ain't gonna lie to you. As a little brother who could never be my big brother's ass, right? I understand where Clippers fans are coming from. You got to take whatever you can to try to, you know, get under the motherfucking skin. Because I'm someone who utilized whatever joke I could, knowing I couldn't beat my big brother ass. If I knew
you
I had
to the point where you could scrap with him.
When we were like 16, we had like our last real fight, right? Okay. But bro, like my brother's 2 years older than me. Like a fucking third grader fighting a fifth grader, nigga. That's a heavyweight fighting a fucking middleweight. Nigga. Like, yeah, bro, that's not fair at all, dog.
Right.
Tyler, yeah. I don't know a lot of people better at metaphors than you, bro. But don't ever like you're bro. Don't ever compare yourself to the Clippers, bro.
I'm not look
like come I, on, dog. Like that's my guy you're talking about, bro. That's my fucking dog, bro. Yeah. You can't don't compare yourself
my
to the
stomach
Clippers.
Hurting over there. I can't
God
believe
damn.
He just did this right.
Yeah, but look, I understand the Clippers have never had a leg to ever stand on against the Lakers, right? They're like oh and whatever in whatever battles you want to put up against them. But like I said, I get it, bro. Sometimes you just gotta take what you got, bro.
I wish I approached basketball and fandom in that way. I think that I respect it. Yeah, I mean, the franchise stinks, you know what I mean? They underperform constantly, feel me? But
you guys are sort of comparing Clippers fans to like a gerbil or something. You're like, it's a lower life form that can't contemplate the heavens, but they never have to experience existential dread.
Is this person from LA feels? Like, yeah. They hate the Clippers this much?
I'm not
much?
From LA, but yes.
I'm Southern Cal. My bad. I had you fucked up.
Everybody here feels. My boy. We've talked about this. It's like Clipper. People sign with the Clippers and show up at Dodger Stadium. They put them on the Jumbotron. They get booed, bro. I mean, that like, but find why? Me a dynamic
they
like
stunk
that.
Stunk so badly. So, you know, like for the most part, I mean, even in the last few years, they've been solid. Cracking niggas, you know what I'm saying? But like, for the most part, they've just been, like you said, the best they've ever done is lose in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
You feel me? Even with a God-tier team. Right, one time. That's about, like I said, the best they've ever done. You feel me? And y'all despise them. What have they done to deserve this? You know what I mean?
Streetlights, not spotlights.
That was nasty. The hate was way prior to that.
Yeah.
You feel me?
I'll say this, like, imagine if you're on the ground and a motherfucker has kicked you in your face 50 straight times.
Yeah.
And you see an opening to bite that motherfucker's ankle one good time.
Yeah.
You ain't gonna take that opening to bite that motherfucking ankle. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's be real here, bro. Like I said, I understand where Clippers fans are coming from.
Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, they're coming from the IE, I guess. They're coming from they're coming out from under under the rocks or whatever.
Canadian niggas?
You
call them Canadians?
I will say this. I'll give the Clippers this. It's the most entertaining game to watch because if you're only half paying attention, you're responding to a text or something, and there's a big dunk, you never know what team dunked the ball. Because the crowd noise is equal for both teams.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And that happened like tonight. They had a big dunk, and I was like, oh, shit, PG must have done something crazy. He was like, nope.
It was Daniel Gafford.
Was it Jones? I think Jones, when he boomed that bitch in the and one.
Yeah, it was Jones.
Got kind of loud.
What did the Clippers do, though? Because this summer specifically, they have a new arena opening next year.
Yep.
Paul George has one more year, I believe, on his contract. So there are some rumors, like if they have an embarrassing loss like this one, maybe he's on the trading block, but they have a new arena. They can't, Kawhi can't be healthy. Like what do they do?
I do genuinely think that they should change the name of the team because I think there's something in their brand identity. Like really think about this. They have complimentary superstar players that they've had for years. They have a coach that almost every team in the NBA would kill to have. They have an owner who's the exact right blend of competitiveness, rich, and a personality. Like, they have everything except, like, if they were just called the Splats or something, they would have won an NBA title by now. You know what I mean? But it's like, and they should have moved, actually, to the IE. Like, they should, like, the IE has, like, 20 million people. It's bigger than almost any other metropolitan area in America. But because it's kind of similar to Long Beach, because it's attached to LA, people just lump it in. They could have moved out there, had their own identity, and really, you know, I just think being in LA, it's like the better they get, the more people hate them for acting like a real. It's kind of actually, Tyler is right. It kind of is like your little brother. I'm 5 years older than my little brother, so we never really had a real fight. But the more he acted like he was a person, you know what I mean? When I'm 17 and he's 12, he'd be like, shut the fuck up. Like, what? So I think that's it, man. I think the fact that they've been good is actually part of why everyone hates them. Because no one hated the Clippers when I was a kid. We all went to Clippers games.
I've told the story on this podcast.
Yeah, we used to go to Clippers games because if you bought
the Lakers games, right?
If you bought 2 gallons of milk at Ralph's, John, they would give you Clippers tickets. That's a fucking fact. And we used to go to Clippers games. I saw Charles Barkley that way. I saw the Bulls that way because we could not afford Lakers tickets, but we could afford 2 gallons of milk.
If you spent $6 at Ralph's, they gave you Clippers tickets?
Correct. $5.
Oh, it was $2.50 back then?
2 for $5.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Yeah. 2 tickets. Not one. Okay. 2 tickets.
But that's how a lot of people became Clippers fans, though, right?
No. No one was there. They didn't even sell Clippers shit at the game, bro.
That's what they say.
I was there in a Charles Barkley jersey. They didn't even sell Clippers shit at the Clippers games, bro.
Yeah. Well, to answer Jackson's question about where the Clippers go from here, they are going to be in the mix until Ballmer decides he doesn't want to spend any more money.
Agreed. Mm.
He is the richest owner in all of fucking sports, bro. Like, he's worth like $120 billion and like...
Did not know
he's, He's worth, yeah, he's worth them more than like 27 owners in the NBA combined. You know what
he
I'm
puts
saying?
The, he puts the chicken wing empire of the Minnesota Timberwolves to shame, shame, brother.
To fucking shame. And he's someone who's shown he's not scared to spend money. And he's someone who's shown, like, bro, if this shit doesn't work, we'll spend more money. Right? Like, they've got a guy who's willing to, you know, shell it out. So we'll see how long it goes in, until he taps out. But like we said, Ballmer's a psycho, bro. He's the dude who, if you punch him in his face, he's going to punch himself on the head before he gets back in the ring with you. So I think the Clippers are going to be in pretty good shape because Ballmer's not afraid to spin.
I agree. And they're in that. It's, for me as a Niner fan, it's the same thing with the Seahawks during the Legion of Boom era. I actually love the players and staff of the Clip. Like, I really like them. If they weren't the Clippers, they would be my second favorite team in the NBA. They are. So let's talk about the Sixers-Knicks game. I just about turned this shit off. 6-point game, 25 seconds left, whatever it was. And my God, Tyrese Maxey, Tom Thibodeau talked about they tried to foul him on the last possession and they couldn't execute an intentional foul. What did you guys make of this game? And are the Sixers? I don't know.
Nah. I think our predictions, you know, last episode were, you know, the Sixers win this one, but the Knicks win it all. I'm still standing firm on that. But Tyrese Maxey, that motherfucker, bro.
Oh my God.
He's so fucking good. Most improved player, and he deserved that shit.
That's almost an insulting award. Like, give it, like, he's improved so much that I almost feel like he took himself out of the running for that. Yeah, award. Like,
they had to give him something, though.
Yeah. Yeah, you feel me? Yeah, like the discussion is which all NBA team is he going to be on right now, right?
Right.
But yeah, it's so interesting to me, like the whole Philadelphia process shit, where they were just tanking to get, you know, lottery pick after lottery pick, and they got, you know, they got Embiid, they got Okafor, they got Ben Simmons, and it's like Okafor and Ben Simmons. Okafor's not even in the league anymore. Ben Simmons is one of the most confusing players we've ever seen in our fucking lifetimes. Embiid has, you know, shown to be a fucking great player, MVP and all that. But like, it feels like you hit on Tyrese Maxey, who was like the number 20th pick, you know what I'm saying? Which is like, bro, that shit didn't mean shit. It's all a fucking crapshoot right here, right? 19 other fucking teams passed on Tyrese Maxey. You picked him up and he is just one of the most incredible players in the league, you know? So yeah, I feel like, you know, it shit worked out great for Philadelphia. I was never riding with that process shit to begin with, but I am of the belief that it's better to be terrible than to be mid, right? Being mid, you don't get anywhere like that. But but just, I don't know. The process is an interesting, you know, experiment to look at that I never fully believed in. Like, I'm totally, like I said, I'm on board of, you know, just say, hey, if we ain't got it, fuck it. Let's punt on some seasons and get some picks. But not the way they went about it. Like, they were just deliberately trying to be the worst team in the league. And that shit did not work out for them at all.
We were talking about number one guy. And Maxey, I think he's a great number two, right? But dropping a fucking three from the logo to tie a game in the playoffs. He's only 23.
At the Garden.
I don't know where he goes, but he got the mindset for a nigga that's going to run some shit. You feel me? I mean, that's special. 40 ball, was he 41 in a regulation, 46 in the entire game? I mean, I was surprised. If this is where he ends up and this is how good he is, he's a great basketball player. You feel me? But I think this is kind of the beginning. That right there and how good he's been this year, I don't know, bro. I mean, we were talking about Paul George. If Paul George had the mindset of Maxey, what is Paul George? I'm not saying Paul. I mean, we talk about Paul George, a great basketball player.
Yeah.
But that's the mindset you need to be a fucking guy.
You got to be a bit of a psychopath, bro. Like,
MSG, you pull up from the fucking logo.
Like, you got Tracy Morgan flipping you off. You got Ben Stiller looking like he wants to run out on the court and fight you. You have John Stewart looking like he just saw Jerry Seinfeld talking about the wokes won't let us have comedy anymore. I mean, like, he took out a whole generation of New York comics. Looked like they're gonna fucking, like, try.
He was walking around like that was his fucking, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I own this mother. This, you know, like, he just hit the shot walking around like dragging his nuts. They're going to overtime and then was getting buckets in OT. You feel me? To get the W. Like, bro, there's something special about him. I don't know who he becomes, but that is, you know, main character energy right there, G. Yeah. For sure.
Talk about what Mike said about how he loves all the Clippers players, and if they weren't on the Clippers, like he,
yeah.
That's how I feel about Tyrese Maxey. I despise the Philadelphia 76ers. I think I dislike the Sixers more than I dislike the Knicks. And Tyrese Maxey is so fun.
Yeah.
He is such an insane.
You can't really root against him.
You never said anything negative about him to the point where I didn't know you hated the Sixers. When we bring him up, you were so, you know what I'm saying?
I love Tyrese Maxey. His game is crazy. He has one of the craziest blends of like deep Dame Steph style range, but also like speed and ruthless,
first
like
rim
attacking. Like none of those guys have that kind of first step. And also the best thing about him that everyone has said, I'm not breaking ground here, is the guy is fucking smiling every single possession.
Yes.
He is just, he loves talk about loving basketball. This is just fucking hoop. That dude loves it.
Yep.
Like I said, man, main character energy. There's something special about that dude, man. And that right there, when he hit that shot, I kind of felt like, I don't know where he goes, but this might mean something, bro.
Yeah.
This may be foreshadowing. You know that point in the movie where you like, I don't know what this nigga might be the one. You feel me? He's not really leaning that way, but right there, that movie, it's kind of letting you know what time it is. It may be. That's what kind of felt right there. That that game and that shot. Felt like foreshadowing, man.
I've been getting Embiid takes off in the group chat and not really putting them publicly, but I'm strapping in for my Tyrese Maxey as their best player in the playoffs.
Well, I said this though, and we talk about the personality thing. He said in the post game press conference, they said, you know, what was the conversation with Joel like? And he said, he told me he needed me to, you know, to take over. And Tyrese Maxey didn't look like that bothered him one bit. Sounds good, man. Get the fuck out of my way.
Right. He just needed somebody to get out the way to get his. You feel me? He wasn't like he was scared at the moment or none of that. You know, it's like, okay, you get out the way. I'm going to do me.
I mean, a team with fucking Joel Embiid is the number two. That's a championship team, dog. You know, if they can figure that shit out. Right? So, yeah, Tyrese is special, man.
And also with Brunson balling, you know, he going back and forth. You know what I'm saying? Bruh.
I'm very excited for that. Special. That is by far the game of the first round for me. Now that all the Lakers heartbreak is over with, I can't wait for that game. Thursday night. It's the late game Thursday too. The night at 9 p.m. on the East Coast. It's gonna be going crazy. You know,
ooh, a crazy local tip off time. It's a crazy local tip off.
9 p.m. Those people are going to be drunk. Jackson, they are going to be capital D drunk. That is, you got off work at 5 o'clock. You had 3.5 hours to get drunk before the game, bro. It's gonna be fucking nuts. All right, we're already over an hour, so sorry to the Bucks. We're all very intrigued at the possibility of a reverse Doc Rivers. Could be very intriguing. The Celtics are moving on. We don't need to see Jackson's smug face about that. Cavs are up 3-2, and we'll talk about all that the next time we go live. Is there anything in the chat that we should address?
No, just people pointing out that the amount of Sixers process fuck-ups that we counted is, we discounted it even. We forgot about Markelle Fultz. There's so many fuck-ups, it's hard to even remember all the mistakes.
I felt horrible for Markelle, man.
Yeah, that one's a little sad.
Yeah.
Wow, way to bring the energy down, Jackson.
It's cool. I hate the Sixers. Brings my energy up to talk about the Sixers.
Fuck Markelle, nigga.
He went to UW. I actually like Markelle.
We don't have any. There are no Clippers fans defending themselves in the chat or anything. Or should they just?
No. The closest would be Adam said, "How dare you, Mike? Anaheim can have the Clips."
Oh, I'd be on board with that for sure.
I got a funny ass story about Markelle Fultz. I got a homegirl who's a doctor and a sports fanatic, and she was explaining the Markelle Fultz injury to me with his shoulder blade and shit, and she was like, you know how chicken thighs are, right? And she was like, well, chicken thigh bones are like identical to our shoulder bones.
Right.
She like explained the shit to me in that way. And that's why she's like been my fucking best homegirl since like middle school. But
she said he got the chicken wing, and she
and she made that shit make so much sense because I'm very familiar with the way chicken thigh bones are set.
Yeah. Intimately familiar with chicken thigh bones.
Yes.
We got to, when we get towards the finals or something, we got to do a, we got to rig your setup so that you could grill while we're on a live or something, bro.
Hey,
we got
Hey,
me and Tyler was talking about grilling for like 20 minutes last night, bro. He grooming me, nigga.
Hey, look. We've had a lot of special moments in our friendship. But talking about grilling for like 30 minutes at like 1 a.m. my time, nigga, that was a watershed moment for us, bro.
Talking about smoking meat, I'm like, bro, I'm going to tap in with this roast. I'm going to tap in with these ribs with you. I'm going to grill more days than not. That's what I was saying. I think that's how I'm going to be the summer.
That's
like,
the goal. That's the goal.
That's where we at with it.
Like I
that's
told
why
you, bro,
I couldn't let Maya be a vegetarian, bro.
I was like, bro, are you hurt? You know what I mean? Italian vegetarians, do they exist?
Just stuffed eggplant, bro. Like that's the only. That's how she's gonna be living.
Three meals a day.
It's like the only vegetarian Italian shit. Fried zucchini go crazy too. Though.
Yeah.
Y'all went off of that one.
All right, that's all the time we got. We'll be back. Not sure when our next live will be, but it won't be very long from now. So we will see y'all then. Thanks for hanging out with us. And again, if you're listening on the podcast, youtube.com/@JenkinsandJones. Come hang out. See y'all soon. Bye.
Bye.
The Volume.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.